I think this is a valid concern. A lot of people do have high sensitivity to strong perfumes. I know that someone told me that there was someone that was repeatedly using incense in the station, and that there was a sensitivity to it. So, I mean, it's kind of like if someone has a disability, you have to be considerate of other people. And so I think that it's a legitimate concern.
I think that is really open season for harassment charges. That if you're going to say, oh, this person smelled that bothers me, this person smells bad and is, it has to go away, or, it's atrocious to me. I can't believe that Pacifica would put such a disturbing piece of, personal body censorship into its own employment handbook.
I would like to respond to that.
Yeah, yeah.
Janet, if you had a serious allergy...
Prove it.
Well, a lot of people do. I mean, a lot of people have problems with cigarette smoke. A lot of people have problems with perfumes where they break out in hives. And I'm not talking about, saying to a person, you stink. I'm saying... And she's saying it very, please minimize or refrain. I mean, that's a polite way of saying...
Where are the boundaries here?
Well,
like
would
saying,
it help?
I smell your armpits?
No, I don't think that's what it means. I mean, let me tell you where I think the comment was coming from. Because, of course, it came with a bunch of explanatory text. Maybe that will help. Maybe it won't. But just so you understand where it was coming from. It was coming from a show that puts on a disability collective. So it's a show that puts on programming about people with disabilities. And part of what they cover is various kinds of chemical sensitivities. So they are sensitive to issues of cleaning products that are toxic or that some people perceive as toxic, and to heavy-duty perfume and scented products, and would prefer that a progressive workplace not use heavily scented or heavily chemical products that some people feel that they're sensitive to.
Well,
so
I'm
the phrase is not... Okay. I'm just telling you where it's coming from. If it dies in the committee, it's okay. So what I'm going to say is, this is within the context not of please refrain and minimize from saying or doing anything that upsets anybody else. It's specifically around the heavy use of perfume or heavily scented products. It's, it's a very specific framed kind of thing that's not about that color sweater offends me, so take it off. I mean, that's not what it says, and that's not where it is.
And how many businesses, how many people who get diseased or have to be responsive to this, the smell disorder here? How many people have to testify to this? How many people does it take to get one person wearing perfume banned?
This is Teresa. Let me say this.
Well,
okay.
I think that's a paranoid way to look at it.
Do you think it's a paranoid way for me to look at it? I think it's a paranoid thing to be banning someone for their odor.
Let's try to avoid saying anything in terms of negative evaluation of what people are saying, please. Let's just try to stick to the issue if we
can.
Okay. So this is Teresa. I would like to say that people that have lupus have sensitivities occasionally, to smell. People that have hepatitis C or hepatitis have sensitivities to smell. The liver, I believe, is used to not only process things that you eat and you drink and toxins, but also smells.
Okay. So I'm going to say one thing.
I want to add something. John, to the stack, I want to add something. National Education Association, at its annual meeting several years back, banned heavy fragrances for the same reason. They also... prohibited the use of those vinyl balls that people would throw around when there was nothing happening during the session because some people had an allergy to vinyl.
Okay.
And it does happen, and there are concerns. Now, the issue would be how far do we want, as a personnel committee, to get into that? I would say that if we get into any of this at all, it would be simply to present the total number of issues that we were given and ask for the PNB to render a decision based on that. That's what I would recommend, rather than trying to get into making our own recommendation.
Okay, I'm just going to throw out that the last change shouldn't be contradictory, and I'm just going to get it out so I can pack up my laptop and be back in motion, which is to cut out a redundant reference to each volunteer employee must safeguard Pacifica confidential information, which is in the conflicts of interest clause. It turned out that it was in there twice, same sentence. So I'm just taking out the redundancy, and that's edit number 6. So that's it. That's the pile of edits, and whatever we do, we do. Done.
All right. Thank you, Tracy. Are there any further comments about that motion, or shall we move forward and simply ask that Tracy present, or on behalf of the committee, the information that she has presented to us, and then let the committee simply give that to the PNB to look at it and render a decision.
I'm sorry. This is Teresa. What are we? What? Tell me again what we're trying to decide to do with these.
What I was suggesting is that Tracy has presented this to the entire PNB, and that she should just be asked to present it to the PNB. I mean, to the personnel committee, and she should be asked to present it to the entire PNB on behalf of the committee, so that the committee can render a decision based on what they see as the most important considerations. That's all.
Clarify for me, please. The PNB will go over each of these questions, these queries or querulous issues, and vote on them and then bring them back to us?
What I would suggest is that Tracy would simply, we would say that we have conducted the surveys, we have the input, because remember that we were about to vote
right
on the PNB handbook.
Right, right.
And then a motion was made that we would review it. We extended the time to review it, and I'm simply suggesting that that point has come to an end, and now we should just turn it over to the PNB. We would say, we have the results. This is what Tracy has come up with. PNB is now in your hands to decide what to do in terms of these suggestions and the overall handbook.
Teresa, put us back.
Yes, Teresa.
I cannot imagine that the PNB has time to discuss these. It's hard enough with 6 of us discussing them. I would think that we either need to take these to either HR or an attorney and have those people give us guidance as to whether we should alter the document.
That would sound very reasonable to me. How does the committee feel about that?
That sounds good. Reasonable to me.
All right. Who's on the deck?
This is Janice.
Yes, Janice. Uh-huh.
I would say that at the point at which we have approval by an attorney, that we do our best to have the most comprehensive content as opposed to content that provides 3 different choices for one issue or concern that's being reviewed. 1, because it's costly, and 2, it would be in our best interest to present the most complete document we can, allowing the attorney then to be able to tell us what we may have left off rather than trying to weigh in on 3 different options for a specific issue.
Okay, well then I think you're speaking in support of referring this to HR. I can talk to HR, and then if HR feels that it needs to go to an attorney, we can do that. Would that be all right? And by our next regular meeting, we can have a report back.
Okay, Tracy, for the stack.
Yes, Tracy.
Okay, here's what I think I'm hearing. Maybe I'm not hearing it correctly, but it sounds like it might make sense to take these edits and stick them into the document based on the fact that we were asked to solicit feedback, we got it, and this is basically what the feedback said. For better or for worse, whether we agree with it or we don't agree with it, we asked for feedback, this is what we got. We have a record of what the changes are. You know, we have this document telling us so we know what the previous version is, and we have previous versions. And then that, I guess, would go to HR? And then from HR, it would come back to the PNB? Is that what's being suggested?
Well, I would recommend that we take the report that you gave and the entire document and indicate the section that would appropriately be affected and let HR review the entire package so they have the benefit of looking at what we currently have proposed.
Right. Sounds right.
Okay.
Cool. So what is this? Put me on the stack. Sorry, Janice.
Yes, Janice. Go ahead.
Teresa.
Teresa's in the stack. Okay.
Am I first, Janet? In creating this handbook, what are the term limits for this handbook? Until the next handbook, or does it, you know, is it to be with a suggestion to be revised in 2 years or 3 years or what?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good question.
Yeah.
That I don't know.
In theory, it's in effect until we update it. I mean, what normal organizations do is every 2 to 3 years, we take a look at their handbook and update it.
Yeah.
So I would think...
What organizations normally do, I'm sure, is what you meant to say.
Yes. Well, okay, whichever way you want to take it. I mean, but in truth, we are updating something from 1996, so our track record here is not great.
Yeah.
But I would think it would be, you know, 2-3 years, maybe a bit less.
This is Janice. I would recommend that the attorney who is doing the review can easily suggest to you the period of time, a standard period of time by which handbooks should be reviewed, particularly as EEOC and other legally required standards change or have nuances, and that the handbooks would be... And those changes that needed to be in new handbooks. So I'd recommend asking what standard and applying that to this handbook.
Yeah. Makes sense.
And you did say the attorney, and I am suggesting at this point that we would start with HR. And if HR feels that it's necessary to refer to an attorney, then we would be so advised, but that we should start with HR.
I would agree, John. Ultimately, organizations in which I've worked have given the final document to an employer / employee attorney so that it is in line with all of the state and national requirements within a handbook.
Exactly. So that the final phase might very well be a recommendation from HR that we now are ready to present it to an attorney for final evaluation.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
And if any comfort, the original way back when draft of this did come from an attorney in the first place, although it's obviously gone through lots of iterations.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we've screwed something up. Could be. But... But the foundational document was created by an attorney, so in theory it should be wildly out of compliance. I don't know.
Okay. So are we able then to move forward onto the next item on the agenda?
This is Teresa. I want to know what we're agreeing to. I said this. Chair asks that we submit the handbook as written and the 6 suggested changes to HR, who may or may not submit to an HR attorney for review. Is that right?
Well, I would submit it to HR, and then based on what they tell us, we would be aware of what they had said. And at that point, I think I would want to come back to the committee and let them know that HR says it's fine if it's the standard guidelines, or we need to go to an attorney, or whatever. I'd like to have their input without judging that it will go to an attorney.
Okay, HR, how about this? Chair asks that we submit the handbook as written and 6 suggested changes to HR. Committee then
yes.
may then submit to HR attorney for review if HR...
I would leave out the HR attorney part at this point, simply to say HR for their recommendations. And then, should they come back saying this has to go to an attorney, those are their recommendations. And then we come back to the committee and let them know that they have recommended that it go to an attorney. I just want to keep the committee in the loop as each of and HR does not move very quickly, so it's not something that is likely to come back to us immediately.
All right, so
by
what
our
we're
next
asking
regular
Mr.
meeting
Chair, for the approval of the committee is Chair asks that we submit the handbook as written and 6 suggested changes to HR for their recommendation.
Yes, that's what I would say. And I don't think it has to be really in the form of a motion, as long as we have consensus that would be the step that would be followed.
Well, then I think we should just ask if there's any objections to that.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't think it's necessary to have a motion, because I've already indicated that's what I would do, and there seems to be consensus.
You don't want it documented that we're agreeing with you that that's what should be done?
Yeah, but it doesn't have to. I don't believe it has to be in the form of a motion. That's all I'm saying.
Well, then how do you want it in the minutes? Because the minutes.
Just say that the committee has agreed that the chair will present the information to HR, just what you said, everything you said except the motion part of it.
So instead of saying no objections, you just want me to say committee agrees.
Yeah, the committee agreed to submit that the chair will speak to HR for their recommendations. And that the committee will be apprised of any of those recommendations. That's all. Something fairly straightforward.
Well, whatever.
All right. Thank you, Teresa. Is there anybody else who would like to get on the stack as far as this issue, or can we move on to the last item, which is the general counsel search? All right. Hearing no...
Teresa, I have one other question. What did we agree to regarding the ED salary range?
We agreed that we would try to get this on the D&D agenda so that we could get their approval.
Okay. So the chair is doing that?
Yes, I
guess
we'll
try to get this on the next on the P&B agenda.
Right. Okay. All right. Is there anything further that we should discuss, or can we move forward then to the last item, which is the general counsel? All right. Then let's move to that last item, which is that you may recall that the idea of looking for a general counsel that was proposed at a PMB meeting, and that we should somehow look at it in personnel. And I didn't add that other item, but there was something else that came up. I guess we have to add under new business. I just recall now that there was something that was referred to us having to do with the, was it the governance committee motions?
No, it was Margie's motion about exit interviews. But I think, we can push it to the next agenda.
All right. So shall we note that this item about exit interviews will be included in the next agenda? We could put it under new business right now, and then just say that we will postpone it until discussion, further discussion until the next meeting. Shall we do that? Would that be all right with everybody?
Yeah.
I'm confused. I'm very confused. The item is general counsel search. Did not the PNB give us some sort of responsibility in assisting, any more specific responsibility in helping with this?
I don't believe in it. I don't recall anything else. Tracy?
Okay, this is what I think about what ensued, and I understand. I think that we're mixing up apples and oranges a bit.
Okay.
I think the PNB did ask us to start a search for permanent general counsel because, of course, Terry Gross was just in a fill the gap.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the name of the corporate counsel is not a closed session. No, it's not. But it's a short-term agreement until the board does another permanent hire. So I think what they asked us to do was to get an RFP out there and to present them with a pool of counsels to choose from. That's how it was done last time. And there were three, and they were interviewed by the PNB, and the PNB picked one, and that was it. So I think we would be doing something similar. Probably the old RFP can be found.
And what does RFP stand for?
Request for proposal. It's just basically, we have a vacancy. Can you write us a letter? Tell us about you and why you would be a good candidate for our new corporate counsel.
Okay.
All right, Tracy, could you take care of this for the next meeting so that we have the information that you're aware of and then we can move forward on it?
I think we can get a copy of the last RFP, yeah. And then, you know, we can modify it, fix it, change it, whatever.
All right. So would you look into that so that we have it ready for the next meeting, Tracy?
Sure.
Great.
Okay. And then, the other part of it was the motion that didn't come out of committee. It came independently from Margie Wilkinson. And I don't have the exact language, but I'm sure, John, you can get it from Richard Uzel, which was something about the PNB offering an exit interview to any management level employee who leaves the network.
Okay.
And that motion got referred to us to either modify, change, amend, approve, disapprove, whatever.
Okay. So I'll look into that with Richard and get the exact wording. And then we'll put that under new business as preliminary discussion. And to be continued at our next regularly scheduled meeting.
Wait a minute. I'm confused. Are you saying, Mr. Chair, that you think that we should not even discuss this for a month?
Well, we just discussed it.
I'm sorry, I missed the discussion.
Well, if you were taking notes, I think you would have noted that we talked about this issue. And
the issue I'm talking about is Margie Wilkerson's motion. Are you talking about something else?
Oh, Margie Wilkerson. Oh, okay. So on that issue, I'm recommending that we had a preliminary discussion now, and we will continue the discussion, because I just added this to the agenda, so it's not something that we had on the agenda before, because I just remembered that it was on there, and you and I hadn't set up the agenda for this meeting, so I was doing it solo, and I didn't remember that until now in the conversation, so I wanted to give us more of a chance to talk about it at the next meeting.
I don't think that we should wait another month to set up this meeting for the exit interview.
It's not an interview. It's to set up a policy regarding these interviews. So it's not for an interview. It's to set up a policy.
Can I find the mechanism, Chair?
Yes, Lizette, please.
Yes, I just want to ask, when we start, at what point did you add that item to the agenda?
I just added it right now because I remembered it, and I just said under new business I wanted to include it because I had forgotten it. When I set up the agenda, I did it myself, and I forgot that item.
Right.
So I was just adding it.
No need to be defensive. I just wanted to ask to make the point that it's now 10:36. We did not have that matter on the agenda, and I agree with the way you are approaching this.
It wasn't there.
You put it on, and it should go for the next meeting.
We need
to move on if we're going to have a closed session.
Yes, I agree with you, and that was my intention, just to include it so we could discuss it more fully next time. All right, so is everybody in accord with that we can just go forward to our next item on the agenda?
No.
Okay.
Well, if the PNB has given us something that we need to do, and I'm sorry if it did not end up on the agenda, and I'm glad that you recalled it, but to wait a month to even discuss it means that we won't have... Am I correct in assuming that the PNB wants to actually vote on this policy before we have the exit interview?
Tracy for the stack. I think I can help here.
Lizette for the stack.
Go ahead, Tracy. We got this motion referred to us, you know, Thursday night in the middle of the night, so realistically Friday, and it's only Monday, so we're not delaying it for a considerable period of time. As far as I can see, the request to the Personnel Committee was not just a yes or no to motion. It was to create some policy around how the implementation of the motion would work. So it's not just a very fast voted up, voted down. It's a little more involved than that. In other words, if we were to agree as a committee that these exit interviews should be offered, how should they work? And that's going to take a little bit of time and energy to do, or at least to do it carefully and to do it well. The other thing is we're going to be interviewing candidates for a while now, so we're going to be meeting more than once a month. And if we feel that this issue is urgent, we can address it in an open session probably within about 2 weeks, because we're going to have to meet to do these interviews. So I think the idea that we're not going to meet again until September is not accurate.
Yes, and Tracy, okay. I did say at our next regularly scheduled meeting, so I had in mind exactly what you're saying. So if we're in accord, then can we move forward to the next item on the agenda? And we would say simply that... Yes, go ahead, please.
I think at this point we need to establish among us what the process would be to formulate that policy, because as Tracy said just now, I didn't think it was meant to be up or down. And if we didn't see a document to read and go through it, then I'm not sure why we're even discussing it. But for the purpose of information and people listening, what is the process of formulating a policy? Do we know?
Well, that is exactly why I think, Lizette, that we need to have some more time on this issue to even get to that point. And that's why I'm suggesting that at our next regularly scheduled meeting, we would begin to address the issue.
Who would put the document together, Chair? Who would put something together for us to read and think about?
I think it's something that we're going to have to do either by trying to get some additional assistance from other members who have served and may have a better idea of what to do. I myself am not that familiar with what has gone on in the past. So that's why I think we need a little more time. As any other agendized item, if we know it's going to be on the agenda, then we're able to start making some moves to better understand it or better deal with it.
Mr. Chair, perhaps we would like to have a subcommittee come up with a draft policy that we could actually start working on it at our next meeting rather than, I mean, just so we actually have something to start cutting, pasting, editing at our next
meeting.
Only
thing that I would say to that, Teresa, is that we have a primary function right now of getting through this ED search.
Okay.
We have the handbook coming. We have the somehow beginning the selection process for the general counsel. So we have a lot on our plates, and we have to prioritize if we want to think about primary responsibility now as getting the ED search going, then I think we need to proportion our time to that.
John, may I ask a quick question?
Yes, of course, Janice.
Thank you, because I was absent the last meeting due to travel. If I'm following this correctly, this is an exit interview for Pacifica National Board members. Is that correct?
This was the result of a motion that came at our last PMB meeting that there would
be an exit interview for whom? Who are we interviewing as an exit, as a
general
exit?
The proposal is for Pacifica National Office employees and for general managers and PBs from all five stations. That's the proposal.
Okay. So this is a question that's probably necessary to be included in the handbook if it's going to be a policy and it is referencing paid, in some cases, as you just described, paid employees should be made aware in a handbook that there is an exit process at which they're required to participate. And so
I think this motion was that it was voluntary, if I remember.
Right. Yeah, it was no requirement.
It was not a requirement?
No.
No, it was supposed to be voluntary, as I recall
the
motion.
Okay, then I rescind what I had to say. And I will go forward with what you've recommended, John, is that we do the more, we agree on the priority of our work ahead of us and that we work on this potential policy as we get through our other priorities.
Yes, that seems to make sense to me. Is that all right with everybody that we go forward in that way, because I think we can then maybe get to the other issues that are there, and we still have a closed session to consider. So, is that all right? Or shall we go forward then?
Well, then I should read this. Regarding the motion, concerning the motion regarding exit interviews for Pacifica employees, we'll put this on the September agenda.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. And I had suggested the next regularly scheduled meeting, and so I think that would be the meeting, and the committee could, of course, decide to include it earlier. But I think that would be better, Teresa, the way you phrased it right there. Okay. So then, can we move forward to the next item on the agenda?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So the next item on the agenda is the the ED search questions on SurveyMonkey. So the ED search questions on SurveyMonkey, Janice and I have talked about it. Janice, could you briefly outline how that would work?
SurveyMonkey would be one tool. Google Docs would be another tool.
Okay.
Given that we're currently paying for SurveyMonkey, that might be a way to do this, where we would each provide a series of questions that we believe are pertinent to the job description for the ED, and they'd be placed on, they would be written individually. I would then add them to SurveyMonkey. All of us could review them and come up with some process based on the number of questions that seem appropriate to all of us, and then that would help to narrow down the questions and come up with a list. Another process which would be different would be to use Google Docs, which allows one person to create a document, share it with the others in the group, and individuals can edit the document as they receive it until we come to some conclusion about a particular question. I'm not wed to either process. I would suggest that we choose a process that is going to be efficient and doesn't require editing at the level of proofreading as though you were a publisher of a book.
Uh-huh. In SurveyMonkey, Janice, how many questions would be considered an appropriate list of questions?
In SurveyMonkey, there's no limit to the number of questions that can be reviewed by the group.
Uh-huh.
I would say based on just the recent experience with the CFO, we were able within an hour to get through 12 to 15 questions comfortably.
Mm-hmm.
More than 15.
Was there somebody who wanted to be on the stack?
Teresa,
okay. Go ahead. And were you finished with your question there?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, Teresa?
Was Janet finished with answering?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh.
Okay. Yes, I finished my answer. Thank you.
I forget, Janice. How did we come up with those 12 questions?
They were presented to us. Oh, no, that's not true. There were a series of questions that had been used previously. Heather, myself, and was it you, John, actually narrowed them down?
I wasn't part of that process, no.
Okay. There were two or three people, and Tracy probably remembers better than I do. There were a select group of people who looked at a series of existing questions and edited those and came to a conclusion with the final list.
I'd like to say something about this. I think the questions we had for the CFO, we came up with in the personnel. No, it was in the search. It was in the search committee, and we just had an executive session, and we started throwing out questions. And of course, there were some people there that had more experience with HR, some people more experience with actually finance. And so they asked some of those questions. Those were the questions that we asked in the telephone interviews. And then we gave those questions. I think each person on the search committee was allowed to come up with two questions. And then we kind of we got to a point when we just kind of threw them out. I think this is the most important question. And somebody said, well, I think we could tweak it by saying this. We got it done fairly quickly, and I'm just concerned that if we use SurveyMonkey and if you ask each of us to write 12 questions and put them on SurveyMonkey, that we're just creating a lot of work for ourselves, duplicating things, whereas, I mean, Tracy or you might suggest some questions, and I might say, those are just great, you know.
Well, I think that's the process that would happen much more quickly when we're all able to look in the same documents in the process that Janice described.
Who's generating the documents that you're talking about?
Well, Janice is going to
help us create the
forum in which we can participate, and then the documents would be created by us, so we would have, as I understand it, almost instant access to everything. So it'd be a much faster process, and we would still have input.
So are you recommending, Janice and John, the Google Doc method?
I would leave that to Janice's expertise,
uh-huh.
But it sounds better to me that she would do it that way, but
uh-huh.
Maybe SurveyMonkey would also work. I don't know.
Yeah.
What do you think, Janice? What do
you
think
is better? I like Google Docs, and I think I'll take a bit of what Teresa said. If there's a starting document, let me say that differently. I would propose to submit 10 questions that I believe are relevant to the job description and the position, just as a starting, as a talking point. And from there, in with Google Docs, we could all review and add or subtract from those 10 questions if we can also come to an agreement about the upper limit of questions that we want to ask a candidate within a 45-minute interview, because frankly it takes 15 minutes to introduce the topic, introduce ourselves, and then get the person into the mode of answering questions.
Okay, does that sound good to people?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, if everyone's...
I guess, for the minutes, would you please tell me then what we just agreed upon?
That Janice would create a preliminary document that would have 3 suggested questions as a starting point, and the committee would be able to evaluate and make recommendations and changes using... Are we going to say Google Docs?
And I said 10, not 3.
Right. That sounds good. Yep, I agree.
I'm a little bit confused. Are you saying that Janice is going to come up with the 10 questions? Because that's just what somebody said.
Yes.
Well, Janice said that she would come up with 10 suggested preliminary questions.
Starter questions, yes. And then
and
we
then
can
we
add.
Would, we would be able to add to it. We could subtract. We could not use any of those questions. We could use all of them.
Okay,
it would
Janet
be a starting point.
That's
what she suggested.
Great.
Yeah, I think so.
Janet?
I think that's fine.
Okay. You offer to come up with 10 preliminary questions?
That's Janice with an IF, not an ET.
I'm sorry, Janice. I guess it's been a long day.
I understand.
I think that's a good process. And Janice, if we don't like your question.
Janice, the ED? What? Okay, sorry. It was a joke. Okay, now let's go forward.
Wow. Okay. That sounds to me like a pretty decent process, and if we hate Janice's questions, we'll provide better.
That sounds good.
That's correct.
Okay, So shall we move forward with that then? Is that okay with
mm-hmm.
anybody? All right.
So this is what
I think
Janice Lane Ewart will create a document with 10 preliminary questions as a starting point, and the committee will add to the list in Google Documents.
The committee will, it's not to add to the list. The committee will use that as a starting point. That's all we have to say. To add to or subtract from that list. It's not that we are adding to the 10, but we're evaluating the 10. It's a starting point. That's
all. Okay. Well, the committee will add
use her suggestions as a starting point for furthering the process.
So you don't want to mention anything about Google Documents?
Well, we already said that previously, I think. We mentioned Google Docs.
Okay.
And that she would be talking about... Google Docs, because that's what she recommended.
Okay, this is Tracy. I just want to let you guys know that I have to go, that's all. So I won't be joining you for the closed session. Everything that we've said today sounds great, and and if someone could just maybe email me anything that I have to know out of the executive session, like when we're going to meet again, that would be great. I'm sorry to have to leave early.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thank
Good
you.
Night.
All right. And then that, I think we should just go to the closed session.
Okay.
All right. So let's call in on the closed session, and we'll get started.
Bye.
All right. Bye. Thank you. The meeting is adjourned. 7:55.